God usually gives me a word for the year. So an example one year he gave me the word growth. And as I look back on that year, kind of walking through that season of growth for me, it was incredible to see exactly where areas I had grown. And it was actually the year that Dara was kind of launched, and it was incredible to see how that came about. So the Drug and Alcohol Relationship Awareness Project that I helped set up with Alison Hardy, who also works at YFC. And there was also areas in my own life in which I grew. And at the end of 2014, this was no different. I kind of came before God and I said, what does the next year of my life look like? What do you want me to learn about? What do you want me to discover more about? And I believe that he gave me the word restoration, that he was going to take me through a season of restoration. And I was like, well, okay. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? And I went on a journey that year in discovering all about God's restoration process. And quite simply defined, if you kind of Google restoration, it says, or it'll say something along the lines of, restoration is the process of restoring something to its original condition. And what Louise has just read there in Revelation 21, I really believe that is the promise of final restoration, when all that is wrong in the world will be made right. And then Acts 3, that was also read just then, tells us that ultimately is when Jesus returns, that we will experience final restoration when Jesus returns here on earth. But while we wait, I suppose, for this final restoration when everything is going to be made perfect, I believe that kind of God's in the business today of restoring us. So taking us on a process in which that we become more like Christ. And naturally, after this word was given to me, I started to ask God about, okay, then, well, what does this mean and what does this look like for me? And in February 2015, my husband and I, so Andy and I, we bought our first house together. And I remember going to visit this house to look at it, to view it. And I walked in and I instantly disliked it. And the reason for this was because it was run down. It was kind of just old. It was out of date. There were even mouse droppings all up the stairs. Yes, it was pretty nasty. And I had a wander around and I didn't like it. And I came out of the house, and it's actually my mum had gone with me to view it alongside Andy. And my mum was just like, what did you think? And I said, oh, I don't like it at all. And she was just like, I think it's got real potential. And as she said that, it kind of stopped and made me think about the list that I had drawn up about what I wanted in a house. And in many ways, it ticked all of them, and if not more. But I was just looking at it as it was. And suddenly in that moment, I thought, oh, maybe it does have potential. Maybe it could become something beautiful if I was to put in a bit of effort and a bit of work, and maybe we could do the house up to make it something that is worth living in. It needed a little bit of TLC. And when God told me that 2015 was going to be a year of restoration, little did I know that I would literally be restoring a house. And it was during these months in which Andy and I kind of worked day in, day out, spent every kind of free spare hour at the house doing it up, restoring it. It was during these months that God took me on an incredibly amazing journey of what his restoration process looked like for us spiritually. So as I was doing the house up physically, he spoke to me about what restoration looked like spiritually. And I just want to share with you this morning some things that God taught me about his restoration process that might encourage you now if you feel like you're in a particular time of wanting to be or needing to be restored. So maybe some of these things might bless you. But these are some of the things that God spoke to me about. And the first one was, you can't rush it and you can't make it happen any faster than you want it to. And this was a big one for me because I found it really, really difficult to be in the house, to do it up, and I wanted it to be finished on, you know, at the end of week one. But it was never going to be finished at the end of week one. That we had to go on a process, things had to be done in a particular order, and it was going to take a little bit of time. In 1 Corinthians verse 3, 6 to 7, Paul says this. So I, Paul, planted seeds in your heart and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. And the Bible, it talks a lot about growth, doesn't it? Becoming more and more like Jesus. And when it comes to growth and development, it's God that ultimately is in control because he has his timings that fit together for his purposes and for his plans. And we can often get where we want to, we can often want to be where we want to be a lot faster than actually we're ready for. And there's always a process and this takes time. And I certainly learned that doing the house. And if any of you in here maybe feel restless for wanting to be further on than you currently are, it's not because God has forgotten about you or has given up on you, but he's wanting to develop you. And with seeds, if they are ever to produce fruit, they have to have really good foundations first. And foundations take time to build and develop. Like a seed when it's planted, the next week it's not going to suddenly produce fruit. It has to have good, solid foundations. And this process of building foundations, it can't be rushed. It has to go at the pace in which God wants it to. And there's an order as well, isn't there, that things have to be done in this kind of process that we go on in our growth. God has an order because he has a purpose. Why he wants to do one thing before he deals with another. And when Auntie and I were restoring the house, I was like, all right, I desperately want to get all the new carpets in right now. And Andy was like, well, if we put the carpets in before we paint the walls, then they might get absolutely ruined. Then we'll have to take them out again. And then, you know, and it reminded me that often it is, I might want something sorting out with God, or I might want to know something from God that maybe he's not quite ready to reveal to me yet because he's got something else to do in my life first. The second revelation I had about restoration I had while we were doing the house up was this, that God envisages how we are meant to be and he is desperately willing us to get there. When we kind of walked into the house for the first time, I find it really difficult to see what the house could be, and it took a little time for me to say, actually, this could really work there, or that could be really beautiful like that. Took me a little while, and but we do, don't we, when if we've ever gone through a restoration process, I mean, you've done this amazing, incredible new building here, somebody had an idea of what it could look like and thought, this will work, this will be brilliant, this will look really good. Someone had that idea first, and in many ways I think that's what God does with us. He sees us how he wants to see us. He sees us in our perfectness, if you like, and he sees us how we are meant to be, and he desperately wants us to get there. Just as we do with our physical homes, we might spend time kind of envisaging what it's going to look like and when it's complete and when it's beautiful, and we work hard then to help it get to that place where it looks how we want it. And, you know, I realize that God does the same with us simply because he chooses to make his home in us. And he restores us because he chooses to live in us. And then he is willing us into beautifulness or perfection, if you like, because we are his home and he deserves no less. And for me, that was an incredible revelation of, wow, like Christ lives in me and he's taken me on this process because he deserves a home to live in which is seeking to become more and more and more like him. In Ephesians 3, it says, verse 17, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and he'll keep you strong. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And unlike me wanting the house to be perfect before I moved in, Jesus amazingly, doesn't wait for us to be perfect before he makes his home in us. He is a living and a work in progress, but he sees the perfect end result in each of us. He sees the potential in us, and he moves in, he lives within us, and he's working on us all the time. And then the last point, thirdly, what I felt God speak to me about in the restoration process is that we really can't go this alone. We need others in the process, others to do what we can't do. And Andy, my husband, he's absolutely brilliant at DIY. In many ways, there's a reason why ultimately we went for this house, because Andy had the capabilities to do a lot of the work himself. But there came to a point where there was something he'd doing in the house that Andy couldn't do. And we both had to come to the realization that we were going to have to pay out a little bit of money to get this part of the house done. So we phoned in a friend who came to do the work, and he did it really well. But it took a little bit of time for us to get there to say, actually, we need Steve to come in and do this. And without others in the process, without others kind of helping us along our way, doing the things that maybe we find really difficult, the process can be stalled. If we had never admitted that we needed help, we might still be working on it now. But we brought somebody in who had the capabilities. And I think for me, it was about, I've got to admit help sometimes. I've got to admit where I'm weak and let the process play out. And there's in Nehemiah, a book in the Old Testament, in chapter 3, incredible book talks about how Nehemiah rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem. And I love how Nehemiah 3 is solely dedicated to listing everyone involved in rebuilding the wall. It isn't a one-person job. And when we're in when we're building something incredible in our communities, it's not just a one-person job, that we've all got our part to play. And I just, as I read Nehemiah 3, it really stood out to me that we can't all be great at everything, that we all need each other to see this ultimate restoration play out. So whatever you're going through in your life right now, let me just encourage you, don't go it alone. Don't try and isolate yourself or force yourself to be able to do all things. Like, you can't. And that is why God has given us each other. And the challenge to us really is to recognize this when it all gets a little bit too much. I often put a lot of pressure on myself as director of Wirral YFC, that I have to be great at everything. You know, that I have to be this jack of all trades. I have to be a great communications manager. I have to be a great PR type person. I have to be a great HR person. I have to be a great finance manager. And the list goes on. You feel like you have to be brilliant at everything. And I've realized that I cannot be great at all of these things. Sometimes I need others to do what I cannot. It's my job not to kind of rule out and think I'm not very good at it, so I'm not going to try, but to give my best in everything and then to bring others in when I need help. And when I took the role, I was really overwhelmed by it, in all honesty, because it was way beyond me and I wasn't ready for it at all. But God knew that we were going on a process and that I was going to learn. And a couple of days into the role, I was feeling overwhelmed. I got a phone call from somebody at National Youth for Christ who said, Zoe, I've got a gift for you. And I thought, oh, great, he's got some money for us. That'd be brilliant. It's exactly what we need. But it wasn't money. It was a person. And he, Barry on the other end of the phone, I've got a man and a wife. Got Steve and Linda are going to come and help support you in this time. And Steve was an absolutely brilliant kind of finance manager. And he's come in and he works with me week in, week out, teaching me what it means to kind of oversee a large budget. And I wouldn't have been able to do that on my own. And I'm so grateful that God, he provides us everything we need to be able to do what we can. And finally, I just wanted to share one last thought with you before we finish. And it's about how rectification, so the act of putting something right, is key in the restoration project, in the restoration process. And I learned doing this house up that there's nothing that can't be rectified. I remember there was one room in the house that was a problem room, and it was a nightmare because I was trying to paint, and as I was painting, the old paint was peeling. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. It's so frustrating. And I had a really bad time with this room, and it was looking pretty horrific. And for some reason, I lost it over this room. And I went to Andy, I hate this. I hate this house. Why have we bought it? We've made a mistake. Like, I was just in a really bad place. I kind of, I was in tears, let's be honest. And I went home that night to my mum and dad's where we were staying because the house really wasn't livable. And I just opened my Bible because I needed a bit of perspective on this situation. And my eyes fell on a verse that I've read over and over and over again, but in a moment took on a whole new meaning for me. And it was this verse, really famous, Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And it was in that moment that God reminded me of his promise to continue working in me until the day of the final restoration that we read about in Acts 3 when Jesus returns. How he has never given up on me and won't do even when I'm a mess. He doesn't give up on me and says, right, I'm going to stop working on you. And as I had this revelation of how he will continue to work in me, I knew he was saying this to me, finish the house, Zoe. Don't give up now. Finish the good work you've started, as I have promised to do so in you. And I was just like, okay. I feel like, you know, it's such a tiny thing, isn't it, doing a house up. But in the moment, it overwhelmed me. But it was like God was saying, I will promise to continue working in me. Continue, Zoe, to do the good work, because I'm going to continue to do. And that problem room actually is one of my favorite rooms in the house, funnily enough now. It's my office where I get to dream about what God wants to do through the incredible ministry of Wirral Youth for Christ, and where God has spoken to me many times, even though I still look at the walls sometimes and think, oh, that was a terrible day. but persevere in seeking to rectify the things in your life that aren't quite right. Like, God wants to rectify those things. He's passionate about it. He's passionate about continuing the good work in you. It's a process. We can't rush it, but he's passionate about it. So may we all find ourselves committed to God's restoration process. And I just want to leave you with these inspiring words from Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. Amen.